streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse, Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, all included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite content in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
You know our trusted partner TireRack.com for their fast, free shipping, free road hazard protection, convenient installation options, and their great selection of best tires, like the highly consumer-rated Continental Extreme Contact DWS 06 Plus. But did you know they sell other automotive products? Wheels, brakes, suspension, just to name a few. Go to TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go on a Monday. Live in Los Angeles, it's The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1, 1 hour from now, where Colin was right, where Colin was wrong. Sean Payton stops by for 30 minutes live in studio next hour. J-Mac alongside today as usual. Well, that was a weekend. Man, Mahomes is different.
Pretty good quarterback, right?
At one point in the fourth quarter, one of his key targets because of injuries was Marcus Kemp, who's got more career tackles than catches. When anybody complains about their quarterback, well, he needs this and he needs that, just look at Patrick Mahomes yesterday.
On a bum wheel, making all the big plays, just such a clutch quarterback. I like your Mahomes take to start the show.
So let's start with this. I've been a sportscaster for over 30 years, and I don't remember in 30 years a team losing a close playoff game and not blaming the refs. Oh, boy. So Kansas City's better than Cincinnati, and I thought Cincinnati would win. But Kansas City's quarterback played better than the other team. Kansas City dominated the first half. Kansas City made fewer mistakes. Kansas City protected their quarterback better than Cincinnati did. And 99.9% of the time, the team that does those four or five things wins the game. Mahomes is different. He played on one leg, had no run support, was missing at one point three of his top wide receivers, and put up a line that is, you know, a Mahomesian line that's now his league average. Couple of TDs, passer rating at 105, completion percentage 67%. The great ones overcome, and both those quarterbacks are great, but one is greater. 5 years, five AFC championships, all at home. MVPs, trophies, he doesn't have them stacked like Brady. But Bill Russell won almost twice as many titles as MJ and was a better defensive player. In fact, maybe the greatest of all time. We didn't wait to call MJ the GOAT. What are we waiting for? His instincts, faster, better than Brady. He moves better than Brady. Arm better than Brady. Winning more early over Brady. Not relying on defense like Brady. It's the best quarterback I've ever seen. You can blame the refs. But the Chiefs had more yards, more first downs, were better on third down, more yards per play, fewer turnovers, dominate time of possession. And their quarterback had two touchdowns, no picks, and Joe Burrow had two picks. One really, really bad. And I love Joe Burrow. It wasn't the refs. Keep blaming them. You've got to get better. Everybody does in the world. By the way, pain tolerance is also a skill. He's A++ at that. Wincing more than once, running around. I had said last week, I think we're overstating the injury. I've seen Mahomes playing a high ankle sprain a couple years ago, and he had 440 yards. Now, it was the Raiders, but it was still something to see. Every other quarterback had something they worked around. Brady's not very physically mobile. Manning could get rigid. Favre made too many mistakes. Maybe Montana wasn't big enough. Mahomes checks every box, and his instincts are bizarre. His ability to see an open player and get the ball out of his hands quickly. Marino was close, but Dan's not this. I've literally never seen a quarterback without a hole. Every couple of years, he goes off the reservation a bit with his mechanics, and Andy has to reel him back in. But with no run game, every quarterback's good with a lead. Every quarterback's great with a run game. Every quarterback's great with time. Mahomes went 67%, 105.4 passer rating, two TDs, no picks, 326, throwing to backups, throwing to guys in the fourth quarter who have more career tackles than catches. And those numbers I just gave you, there is per game average. He doesn't dip in the playoffs. When Sky Moore, and Bengal fans don't want to talk about this, returned that punt at the end of the game for 27 yards to midfield, I literally thought, okay, it's over. I can go pour a cocktail. I never feel like that with any other player on the planet. Game's over. By the way, that return you're watching now got about twice as many yards as the late hit penalty, which Bengal fans apparently have amnesia on the punt return. But the ability of Mahomes is like nothing I've ever seen. And it creates great clarity. You're complaining in New York that Daniel Jones doesn't have this or your quarterback doesn't have that. No run game, one leg, facing a great defense, using backups. That Bengals defense is as good as any in the league in the fourth quarter. By the way, Burrow had two fourth quarter drives, a pick and a punt. And I love Burrow. But what you're watching here is different. It is just different. And when you can juxtapose them, put them side by side, you see the difference. And Mahomes, seriously, I think he's getting better. I honestly think he's getting better. I don't know how it's possible, but Andy Reid, obviously one of the smartest offensive guys ever, when he talks about him after games, he just smiles.
Our players, our team, coaches, we're all lucky to have him in that position, and the mindset, that whole mindset. So it carries over to everybody. For Pat to do what he did and then to have that run at the end, I can't say enough. He is the MVP in my eyes.
Patrick Mahomes is the greatest quarterback talent I've ever seen. And I don't know why I got to keep waiting. He's not probably going to get this trophy or that trophy or this or that. If we're just talking about stacking things, then Michael Jordan's not the best basketball player ever. You have to contextualize stuff. But when I watch Mahomes play, arm, instincts, mobility, pain tolerance, intelligence, I've never seen anything like it. Never seen anything like it. I don't want to hear about your crappy quarterback's average O-line. I don't want to hear about your crappy or average quarterback's lack of receivers. Who was he throwing to yesterday? Guys that Aaron Rodgers couldn't make viable. He makes viable in an AFC Championship game. Absolutely an insane talent, and we're lucky to have him. And he's also a great guy and a great teammate. All right, now to the next game. You know, I'd set, you know, circumstances change opinions. And like Tom Brady with his kids in Florida playing for the Niners, I'm thinking to myself, that's just a lot, even though his parents are there. But I'm sitting watching that game and I'm thinking, Kyle Shanahan went through Trey Lance, Jimmy Garoppolo, Brock Purdy, Josh Johnson, and they're hiking a ball to Christian McCaffrey. And I'm thinking to myself, I could see Brady texting him saying, you know, I don't get hurt. And the Niners going, Debo's getting older, McCaffrey's taking hits, Trent Williams getting older, Kittle's taking hits, these guys aren't going to last forever. I could see the Niners after this weekend going, Brock Purdy is a little small, he is a seventh rounder, maybe we got to go big, because the Niners are loaded. But Philadelphia is a remarkable story. You know, I lived out east for about 10 years. And out west, if we want a new building, we blow stuff up. We don't have a lot of old churches, we don't care much about that. For an old Eastern city that's proud of its tradition, you really got to hand it to Philadelphia. Multiple quarterbacks, multiple coaches, second Super Bowl in 7 years, four different coaches in 23 years, three of four have been to the Super Bowl, all winning records, have all gotten to the playoffs. I really appreciate the way Philadelphia is willing to evolve. I don't even like all the moves. I thought Sirianni was a weak hire. I couldn't understand firing Doug Peterson, moving off Carson Wentz. But for an old, established Eastern city, which has great pride and tradition, they will change direction in a heartbeat. In a heartbeat. They're Amazon. You think they're one thing? The minute you do, they're another. It's remarkable. It is a completely stacked roster. And what's remarkable is their two playoff games were blowouts, and Jalen Hurts is not right. That dude needs to get healthy. He had no touch on deep balls. His stuff underneath was short. I don't know if Jalen Hurts is 70%. You know, we talked about Mahomes' injury. I think Jalen Hurts is really hurt. I don't think he's right at all. But this roster may be gifted enough. It's got much more depth of talent than Kansas City. You could argue almost every unit, Philadelphia is deeper and more talented. It may be close in some, but they may be deeper and more talented in every single unit. It's really what I love about Philadelphia is what has confused me about Philadelphia. When I lived out east, people were into prep schools and tradition and churches. And sometimes I'd look at it and think, you know, it's why are you so beholden to tradition? It is hard to move off it. Grandpa went to this church. Dad went to this church. You go to this church. Your kids will go to this church. You went to this summer camp. Your dad went to this summer camp. The East is very much about tradition. And then there's Philadelphia. And they're like, yeah, that coach was great. We won a Super Bowl with Nick Foles. We got to move off that coach. What? We got to move off Andy Reid. What? We got to move off. Even Chip Kelly had a winning record. And here they are. Nick Sirianni is pumped to be going to the Super Bowl.
This is something you dream about your whole life. And like I said to the guys, we've all been dreaming about it. Whether you were dreaming about it when you were 2, 10, 14, 18, or when you got in the NFL, this is something we all dream about, and we get to do it because, you know, we did it better than anybody else in the NFC this year.
Different coaches, different quarterbacks, disagree with a lot of the moves, and here they are. Two blowout playoff wins. People say, well, they had one of the easiest routes of all time. Potentially. I remember when USC was dominating college football, the Pac-12 had never been worse. They were still better than everybody. They're still better than everybody. Just because you have an easier route doesn't mean you're not the best team. And the Eagles are absolutely stacked. And it's because they've taken chance after chance. They've moved off winning coaches and winning quarterbacks. It's something to behold.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. 90 seconds, all it takes. Use the code HERD. New customers bet 5. That's it. $5 and get 200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code HERD only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21+, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
There was a lot of arguing. Lakers-Celtics Friday, Niners-Eagles early, Chiefs-Bengals late. There was a lot of complaining about officiating. Adrian Amos was on Twitter saying, I'm not saying it's a terrible call because he was out, but I just don't like it. You think running full speed, knowing he's out of bounds, it's not easy. No, it's not easy. It's not. Joseph Asai, I feel bad for him. It's not easy. But the you can't call that crowd is silly. First of all, regardless of clock, an official has to call what he sees. That was, by definition, a late hit, pushing a quarterback into a bench. The Bengals player, after the game, was crying, saying, I've got to be better. He wasn't saying the ref had to be better. All players and refs outside of Mahomes could be better. There are moments for situational officiating. One of them is a Hail Mary pass. I've said this for years. They don't call pass interference on Hail Marys. Otherwise, people would do it all the time because you would get like a 40 and a 50-yard penalty. But by definition, that is a late hit, pushing the best quarterback in the universe into a bench on a bad leg. It's 2023. You got to know the temperature in the room. You don't do it in that moment. What's interesting was almost double the yards for that penalty was created by Sky Moore on a punt return. Nobody's talking about that this morning. Why did the Bengals punt it to the middle of the field? What are you doing? 27 yards, got it to midfield, and at that moment, all of us went, oh, game over. Let me ask a Bengal fan, a little nervous when he got to the 50 with Mahomes and 41 seconds left? You should be. He took the ball down the field in 13 against Buffalo. That was the game. By the way, we could go moments earlier, previous drive. Why did Cincinnati call a timeout on 2nd and 8? That gave the Chiefs more time late in the game. It is easy to blame the officials in the Lakers-Celtics game. Go ahead, blame the refs. It was a bad call, but the Lakers had 12 turnovers. 9, they win the game. Westbrook himself had 5. What was he doing in there late? Niners? Yeah, I didn't like that Devontae Smith no catch. But the Niners coaches didn't ask for a review, didn't challenge it. All right, that's your job. And in this instance, why are you punting to the middle of the field in Sky Moore? Why did you call a timeout on 2nd and 8? You don't have to love the call, but a referee almost always is going to call what he sees. He's not supposed to categorize them. Well, it was a play about 6 minutes ago that wasn't called. Let me think about that. You call what you see. It's 2023. Pushing a quarterback into a bench? Of course it's a flag. Here's the coach and the player after.
I got to learn from experience, and I got to know not to get close to that quarterback when he's close to that sideline. If there's anything that could possibly cause a penalty in a dire situation like that, I got to do better.
Understanding it's never one play, but obviously the late hit put them in field goal range. Again, when you're trying to communicate things to players, especially ones involved in that play, how do you do it?
We're not going to make it about one play. You know, there was plenty of plays that we left on the field today that could have put us in a better position.
Fans want perfect officials. You don't have perfect coaches. I didn't like Cincinnati's timeout. I didn't like the coaching decision to punt the ball to Sky Moore in the middle of the field. There's a lot of things that didn't go Cincinnati's way. But the general rule is, if there's two quarterbacks and the home quarterback plays better than the road quarterback, dominates the first half, gets better protection, he'll win. And Kansas City did.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
San Francisco 49ers situation is really, really interesting. So you have this roster with very physical players, Christian McCaffrey, Debo, Kittle. They're not going to last forever. They're just not. The way they play, if I said any of those guys in 2 years have retired, have moved on, are not the same player. Trent Williams, left tackle, up there in age. They've got some great players, but the physicality means you may have like a year and a half window, a 2 year window. Now, Philadelphia's window appears longer, and even they have some age on the O-line and D-line. But this San Francisco team, which has battled injuries for the last two or three years, I figured if Purdy played well, even if he lost against Philly, I think I said last week, if he plays well, 27-24, but I was sitting there thinking to myself, Mahomes is running around on one leg, Josh Allen's getting you-know-what kicked out of him, so is Joe Burrow, and they're playing, and Purdy, something hits his elbow, he's out. And I thought to myself, I could see the Niners saying, Trey Lance, Garoppolo, Purdy, Josh Johnson, are they sitting flying back from Philadelphia saying, we just need a guy that doesn't get hurt? And Brady texting him and saying, guys, I'll take a small salary. Let's go. I can see having that discussion. And you could say to yourself, well, Colin, it's circumstance. I know. Absolutely. But size isn't ideal for Purdy. He's a gamer. He's twitchy. He's athletic. He's competitive. But they're in a really fascinating situation as a franchise where a lot of their key players, you may have a year to 2 years in this window to hit it. And I am fascinated to see what they do. It's not like the Jets. The Jets, almost all their players are good or young. You got a broad window. If you can get a quarterback, you can take some time. You can't be too patient with this organization. That's why with Trey Lance, you know, there was consternation and issues in the camp. It's like, he's just not good enough to win now, and we got to win now. And so, you know, as I watch Purdy, you know, his elbow gets hit, and he's like, I can't play. And I'm thinking, I've seen Josh Allen get knocked blank over tea kettle and stay in. Size matters in this sport. Some of the smaller quarterbacks get banged up. I don't know what they're going to do with Purdy. I don't know what they're going to do. But I could see Brady. I didn't last week. I thought, you're not going to move that far away from your kids. That doesn't make any sense. But I'm sitting there watching that game, and Brady is watching all those players and saying, hey, man, I will play for almost nothing. And I could see Kyle looking at that text, talking to John Lynch, and it's like, dude, can you just give me a guy? Can you just give me a guy that can play? The other thing about Purdy's lightning in a bottle run is we have to be totally honest about this. He beat two last place teams. He beat the Raiders with Jarrett Stidham. His division went into the tank. When he finally played a really good defense, Dallas, he's pretty average with all those weapons. Philadelphia, I don't know how he would have played, but they weren't moving the ball much. So, you know, I think this is one of the things about sports is to have these moments. I've said this. Jalen Hurts gets banged up. Kyler gets banged up. Suddenly their GM, Lamar, is hurt. Their GMs around the league, because of those injuries, thinking, we got to be careful about mobile quarterbacks. Circumstances change everything. The Brock Purdy situation is fascinating. Did you get lucky and hit lightning in a bottle? You just got lucky. Never forget that the magical run isn't necessarily the magical quarterback. Nick Foles, it was a magical run. Where was he the next year? He was on the bench. You can't fall in love with, I mean, you played a bunch of bad teams. Your division went into the tank. What if the Rams in Seattle next year are really good? And Brock Purdy doesn't feel like an automatic W with this roster. So I think it's fascinating. I don't know where they're going. But watching him sit it out and watching them hiking the ball to Christian McCaffrey, I can see Kyle Shanahan sitting down with John Lynch over an iced tea at lunch saying, just get me a 17-game starter. Get me a guy who's 6'3", who's accurate. It could be Derek Carr, however big he is. It could be Brady. But they were the most fascinating team in the league. They may well be the most fascinating team in the league next year, because this roster, the two rosters in the league that don't even look like everybody else, Eagles, Niners, they don't even look like other teams. I mean, Philadelphia is better than Kansas City in virtually every unit. I mean, I love the Chiefs O-line. Philly's is better.
I just looked at the Niners roster, Colin. They have two guys on the entire defense who are impact players who are over 30. This is a young defense with a lot of upside. And to
no,
push
but
back
their
on
offensive
Purdy,
guys, yeah. McCaffrey, Kittle, and Debo, those guys get dinged up a lot.
They do. To push back, McCaffrey joined the team midseason. Brock Purdy was a seventh-round rookie. So you could say, listen, we're just scratching the surface with these two guys in the offense. Next year, they could be a lot better. Who needs Tom Brady?
I'm saying,
go out and get me a offensive lineman to maybe block Hassan Reddick.
Okay, right. No. That was my gut feeling. But I do think you can make the argument that Shanahan is just over it. How many years can Shanahan sit there and not have a healthy quarterback? You can be the most patient guy with your kids, but after the third kid screws up doing, you know what I mean? Like, at some point, we've all got limits. Is Kyle Shanahan flying back from Philly? He's hit his limit on plucky overachievers who can't stay healthy.
two NBA insiders podcasting twice a week to plug you right into the NBA grapevine.
All happening in only one place. This League Uncut, the new NBA podcast with me, Chris Haynes,
and me, Mark Stein.
Join us as we team up to expound on everything we're covering, hearing, and chasing.
Listen to This League Uncut with Chris Haynes and Mark Stein
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The 82-game preseason is in the books. It's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. The code is HEARD. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. $200. That's code HEARD only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured. Not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Colin right, Colin wrong on a Monday. Here we go.
Where Colin was right.
I had said earlier this year that I thought Mahomes and Burrow specifically had moved past Josh Allen. Burrow had moved. You get all the greatness without a lot of mistakes. They've met now four times. Last second outcomes, second time in the AFC Championship. I didn't think Burrow played particularly well, but, you know, the last 2 years in the playoffs, Joe Burrow was literally running for his life. I think these guys have gotten to a point now where everybody, even the really, really talented guys like Rodgers and Stafford and Justin Herbert and Allen, you're all looking up at them.
Where Colin was wrong.
Year after year, the Philadelphia Eagles totally confound me. They fired Doug Peterson. I hated that. They moved off Carson Wentz. I didn't get it. They hired Nick Sirianni. What are you doing? I got to say something. Most organizations that make a lot of changes do because they're poorly run. The Eagles are the opposite. Despite a great tradition, they are willing to move off coaches, move off quarterbacks, move off systems, and they should be proud of it. There's a lot of bad football in that area of the country, Washington, the Jets, and the Giants over the last 10 years, and yet the Eagles, always willing to acknowledge mistakes, try something new, are once again the kings of the Northeast.
Where Colin was right.
I said I thought the Mahomes injury was being a little overplayed by the media and wouldn't affect really the game. Well, we had video. He was fine. He was a full participant at practice. In 2019, I think it was, he had the same injury, and the next week threw for 440 yards. I didn't think the injury, I thought there was a couple of instances, and Tony Romo pointed them out, where it looked like he just couldn't step into it quite as much. But in the end, Burrow was the better quarterback of the two best quarterbacks on the planet.
Where Colin was wrong.
Well, in my top 10 players in this game last week segment, I did not have Haason Reddick in the top 10. I think I had him 11. Yeah, he proved me wrong. He was a game wrecker. Two sacks, fumble recovery, forced fumble. He was just absolutely fantastic. You know, of the many great players Philadelphia has, We probably overlooked him a little bit, but he was a complete game wrecker, and good for him.
Where Colin was right?
Well, the story is broken now. According to legitimate sources, that Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, a trade remains viable and very much on the table. We had said last week and the week before that Aaron continues to ask for concessions. That's fine, but the payoff now is not even making the playoffs. Apparently, the Packers, according to an ESPN story, projected to be more than $16 million over next year's salary cap. They got to dump people, maybe Mercedes Lewis or Randall Cobb. Aaron doesn't want that. I think at this point, if you're going to ask for concessions, you got to get to the playoffs in the NFC, and the Packers didn't.
Where Colin was wrong.
This is a shocker. There's a report that Daniel Jones does have a market. It could be $30 million a year. By the way, do you get Brian Daboll with him? What? Then I'm way wrong, because I don't see much of a market. I think the story is Daboll and Saquon Barkley, but according to agents, and maybe agents are just driving it, there is a market for Daniel Jones. I don't get it. I'm apparently way off. I'm not seeing what somebody else is, but the agents report it's up to $30 million annually. Wow.
Where Colin was right.
Said last week I thought Sean Payton should probably pivot away from the Denver Broncos, and it appears to be the case because now Jim Harbaugh's interviewing again. It's nothing against the owners, I'm told. It's the lack of cap flexibility and the issues with Russell Wilson. You're stuck with him for 3 years minimum. Sean Payton, it looks like, has pulled out because Harbaugh's back in. And in fact, many of the top candidates are moving away from this, which is not a terrible job on the surface, but the GM now doesn't have a ton of power. The coach will report to the owners. Mostly coaches would rather report to GMs and not owners, so that's the very latest.
Where Colin was right.
I've been the biggest Andy Reid fan for a long time, and I will say this, and I said it a couple of years ago. He is now 7th straight division title, 9 playoffs, 10 years, and another Super Bowl, and Belichick couldn't make the playoffs. If offensive rules would have taken place like they have in the last 6 to 7 years, 15 years ago, then we would view Andy Reid as the game's best coach and not Bill Belichick. Belichick grew up in an era where you could grab and mug players, injure quarterbacks, drive them into the ground. The league now has pivoted, and Reid has pulled away from Belichick. He drafts, develops, teaches offense at a level Belichick can't and never will, and I could not be happier for Andy Reid, who, you know, there's sometimes in life you're waiting for people to get the success they deserve. I think if anybody in the NFL, everybody loves Andy Reid. Like, you just kept waiting for years and years in Philadelphia. You're like, this guy's great. This guy's great. He needs a help. The league actually did him a big favor because of safety concerns. They have made the middle of the field offense, and Andy Reid is now the best coach in the NFL, and there's a lot of Sundays. It doesn't look particularly close.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
I mean, we're wishing him the best if he wants the coach, but we like having him back. Sean Payton is joining us live, the former Saints coach, 15 years, 9 of those years a playoff team. Oh, my Lord.
Man, I get a walk-in. I'm not used to a walk-in. I'm usually sitting down. I've got no idea what we're going to talk about today, and I'm excited. I'm going to say this, though, before we even get started. When a guest arrives here, you get kind of mic'd up in the back room, and you can kind of hear the banter going on. And I'm listening to this Jordan LeBron stuff, and I'm like, I can't believe what I'm hearing. And I grew up in Chicago, and I'm like, are you kidding me? Are we actually comparing someone to Michael Jordan? And we don't have enough time in this segment, but that's like, we could easily spend an hour on that, and we'll save that for another day.
By the way, we're always looking for June guests.
Yeah, I'll definitely share an hour with Jordan and LeBron. Good stuff, and obviously a good weekend of football. One game lived up to kind of what we were hoping. I had trouble with both of those games.
Why?
Handicapping them, or
Two things come into play. All season I'd been picking Kansas City and San Francisco, so you want to stay with your your kind of gut. And then as you got closer, then there's this conflict. For me to win the big show, Bradshaw's got a point on me. And so if I pick the same two teams Bradshaw picks,
you can't win.
I can't win. And so he goes Eagles. I think he went Eagles Chiefs. I went Niners Chiefs. And, you know, I ended up watching my team with three different quarterbacks struggle in a game.
Let's start with that one.
Yeah.
So, you know, and one of the things I've learned from you is that there's a lot of context and nuance to everything. We go to dinner and talk about stuff. You're thinking about everything. You're saying, I'm thinking about the Christmas card. What's the office look like? The idea that, you know, you're just going out there and coaching and doing some practice. And so I said, I figured if Purdy played well, even if they lost, you come back into next season, I can keep all my guys. And then he gets hurt. And I think to myself, Kyle's sitting there thinking, Garoppolo got hurt. Trey Lance got hurt. Brock Purdy got hurt. And I could see Tom's calling and saying, you know, I don't get hurt.
Yeah.
This window for this team, as you know, Sean, Kittle's a physical player, gets dinged up. McCaffrey is. Yep. Debo is. Trent's old. I don't think this window in San Francisco is 4 years.
No. Look, and I don't know that any of us, and I think the myth, you know, there's two or three things, you know, halftime adjustments. They're taking place throughout the game. All right, number one. This is the windows every year. You know, in other words, or we're going to build 3 years from now. We expect to contend. No one's patient enough for that to ever happen. These are like things that I hear. And so it's now. And they've got a really, really good team. And I would say midway through the second quarter, their quarterback's out. It's 14-7. And clearly the comment I made was, what was the over-under? Because I don't pay attention to that.
Yeah.
The under's looking pretty good. Both defenses are playing well.
Yeah.
And just as we were watching that drive, we were in the green room, and they keep a couple of us around in case there's some technical difficulties in Philly. So the big show's in Philly, but let's say something happens to the signal. They can't do a halftime or post game. They can come to L.A., and there's a group of us that can that can do the highlights.
Right.
So we're kind of mic'd up in our suits, but we're really just watching the game and talking about it. And I remember saying just – you got to be careful here because it was like, what was it, 148 or 223? You know, it's like, look, any one of these quarterbacks like Brady or Mahomes, you're right into your 2 minute. You're thinking field goal, maybe touchdown. But you have Josh, who's, you know, when you look at the reps he's had or hasn't had,
not many.
Yeah. You almost got to be looking at that like, I want to be happy at 14-7.
Yes.
And we're going to find a way to win this game in a different fashion. They rushed the punt. Philly had to punt, backed up. And I said, I promise you they're going to bring, all right, all eight here. They're going to try to create points because it's going to be hard to find those points in other areas. That turnover touchdown was killer, I think, in that game.
Game over.
Yeah, I just think because then you get to this 14 points, you'd say, all right, for a San Francisco offense, that's not insurmountable. But 14 points for a quarterback that now is going to be forced to make some plays. So that was challenging. And I do think when you look at San Francisco and their defense and they've got a good offensive line, they've got, man, good skill. Their window, though, is now. Now, how long is that?
Yeah.
They're one of the teams. I mean, when the season ends and we handicap next season, if it was a college team, they would be in the top four.
Yeah.
If we were, you know, next year's NFL rankings, they would be 1, 2, 3, or 4. And it's because of the roster, and they've done a good job with that.
Yeah, Philadelphia, you know, one of the things, I said this earlier, that generally when a team makes a lot of moves, you're like, oh, it's a chaotic organization. They've had four coaches in 23 years. They've all got winning records. They've had multiple quarterbacks in Super Bowls. For, as you know, as a proud Eastern city that loves its history, it's sometimes harder than it is for us West Coast people to move off stuff. Prep school, the churches. When I lived out there, they take such pride in their churches. And here are the Eagles. They're like, you know, Doug Peterson won us a Super Bowl with Nick Foles. We're going to move off that. And I'm like, what are you doing?
But the guy they're going to face the next week, they moved away from Andy Reid.
It's crazy. But you know what? Howie Roseman, they reinvent themselves very uniquely in this league. How did you always view them?
Well, my first NFL job was them. 1997-98, Ray Rhodes was the head coach. I was coaching at the University of Illinois, and I had gotten a call. They had a quarterback position open. And I never thought all I wanted to do was coach in the Midwest and the Big Ten and become a Big Ten head coach. And so I was hired in 97 to be the quarterback coach for the Eagles. And on that staff, by the way, John Gruden was the offensive coordinator, Bill Callahan, the offensive line coach, David Shaw, all right, was a quality control coach. We shared an office. Juan Castile, great coach, Emmett Thomas, John Harbaugh. There were six NFL head coaches in the basement of Veterans Stadium.
Wow.
Grinding away. The facilities weren't great, but it was a great introduction for me to the NFL and learning from so many people. And
the passion there.
Yeah, and I lived there for probably, a third of my life growing up. You know, peewee football until I was in eighth grade, we moved to Chicago. So I remember the Flyers and the 76ers, Phillies, and all those teams. And they are passionate, and going in there, it's a tough place to win. I mean, that is a tough place. In 2013, we played them in the wild card game, and this was Chip Kelly.
Yep.
He had just come on the scene. You know, in other words, and that was the next best thing, and Chip does a great job, of course. And they're the favorites, and we're playing them in Philly. And I told our team about, hey, this is what the day's going to be like. All right. Now, when you play in the playoffs, your hotel advance person doesn't have the same 6-month notice to book hotels. So these teams in the playoffs, you know, you might be further away. We were in King of Prussia because there was a conference in the city.
Yeah.
And they're last minute. You win a game, they win a game, and you're in the next week. You're booking a hotel. But I told him, when we pull off this highway here and you head down past the stadium, on the right side, bus one, you're going to take six eggs. Like, it sure is worth sitting here, all right? And, these little kids will be flipping you the bird. Bus two, you'll get maybe three or four. They're going to reload. Bus three, you're going to get another six. And so you're just preparing your team for the events of the day. And then I went and had our graphics guy put together, and we have five buses the teams take into the stadium, and we put a giant, when I say a giant, 10 feet by 10 feet circle bullseye on the right side of every bus. And so there was a center red circle, a white circle, a true archery bullseye, but that was 10, it was huge, and all five buses had it. And our players, when they got up in the morning and they saw it, they chuckled. And so as we came off the highway, the Eagles fans saw this and it was, and it was like I wanted to plant people to throw eggs at our buses.
Because get your team ready.
You could just turn and say, everything's going according to plan.
Oh, that's smart.
It's going just how I told you it was going to go. And we ended up winning big in that game, and that was one of those games where we took two laps around the stadium and then went to the airport.
Yeah, I remember that story.
Yeah, it was a little contentious, because the first time you see the fan after a win, they're yelling at you, and then when they see you come back around, it's an aggressive move. But I thought they looked fantastic. I'll say this, all season long, the one thing, and I don't think we've underrated them, but man, do they have a great offensive line!
Oh my God!
The angles, there's a touchdown run Philly has in the first half where you guys all saw that it was like a man block by the guard, Kelsey, the center.
Kelsey
comes around and actually outflanks the weak side linebacker, and that linebacker never. They do some things in the running game that no one else in our league is doing. And I said this yesterday, and I believe this. I felt like the winner of the NFC championship game was going to be our Super Bowl winner, and I still believe that.
I do, we said this morning, I feel like Philadelphia, you can argue, take quarterback out, because neither one's totally healthy. I think you can argue Philadelphia, every unit is as good or better. Every unit.
Yeah. Defense, we had the top two defenses playing yesterday.
Their corners. Philly's corners.
So, I think, and look, the receiver depth at Kansas City, that they did a great job yesterday, right? They thinned out, Kelsey. They just made enough plays. It was like they were down to, if it was a car finishing a race, you know, they were down to three wheels. All right, the frame was off. You know, it was like they crossed the finish line and then it went.
Right.
And that's a credit to that team and Andy and that organization.
All right. Well, you said the greatest workout you had ever seen was Patrick Mahomes in college. You and the Saints literally saw him and left town quietly because you didn't want anybody to know. One of the things, and explain this to me, I said this yesterday, and I said it this morning as well to a friend. I said, his ability to see something and how long from that instant until the ball is out of his hands seems less than a second. It's a cognitive. He's obviously going 1,000 miles an hour upstairs. When you saw him, you always say it was the most impressive workout. Some of it's just arm. But I just, there's something about his wheels turning upstairs.
Yeah,
I don't think you can teach
I think you're right. Well, it's a gift, and it's something that, you know, certainly it's through practice and hard work, and yet he can process. And I've used this analogy. Some of us get a brand new car, and you've got, you know, 2023 model. Has got all these seat warmers and sunroofs. And, you know, I'm the type, by the time I turn that car in, there's a handful of those features I've never touched.
Same.
Right. I just don't get to them.
Yeah.
He gets to every one of them. You know, how's your seat in the back left? Well, he's driving and his left blinker's on and he's making a left. All right. That's a gift. We felt like we saw the arm talent on tape. Obviously you see his ability to throw like there, you know, that funny body throw. That was an amazing throw.
Unbelievable. Right there. That's the one I went to Twitter after that one. God, Mahomes is gifted.
That was something.
What is that?
And so, but when it came to the test or the, you're trying to grade, you know, how quickly does he learn? You give him a bunch of stuff the night before. We're going to fly in the morning and then we're going to cover it with you. And what we had given him was more than we felt that he'd be able to. You know, we want you to look at it all throughout the night, look at it in the morning, and then, hey, we'll kind of cover this. And it was 2 or 3 days of install, you know, like training camp install day one, install day two, install day three. It'd probably be 74 pass route concepts. It'd be maybe 6 play action concepts, 2 or 3 empty concepts, quite a bit of information. And so the morning started with that. And 2 hours in, it was like we were out of questions. Like he and so the ability to process quickly is a gift. And some of them have it. A lot of them. It's hard to gauge, but a lot of them don't. And when you listen to the acoustics, the center of the guards have microphones now. You guys can hear his cadence, and it's amazing to hear him just. You know, there's 8 seconds left in the play clock, 7, 6, 5, and he's like, 58's Mike. He changes it. Hey, watch him on the run through. It just never stops. Like, he's the epitome, and Drew was this way, multitasking, you know, where he can, all of this is going on, and he's comfortable with it, and that's rare.
I got to ask you a coaching question. We can blame the refs, but, I mean, Kansas City had more yards, fewer turnovers, better pass protection. Kansas City, to me, is the better team, and I pick Cincy. The punt to Sky Moore. So my takeaway on that was, listen, I would have punted it out of bounds. The minute that thing went off, I went, no, 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 no. That kid can run 27 yards. It's midfield. My first take is game over. Would you be mad at the special teams coach?
Well, I don't know what the plan was. Usually have a plan relative to we were always a directional punt team.
Yes.
And so see if this makes sense. You've got your two outside gunners, and if you directionally punt the ball, let's say to the left, then you know you're gonna populate that area of the field. Sure. And I felt the same way. The problem here was middle field, no hang time.
That's right.
And so middle field, no hang time is like fastball over the plate
for a good hitter.
Like middle field, no hang time, and then the rest is a problem.
What did you make of Burrow got very little protection early? I don't think Joe had a great game, but again, he was the more rushed quarterback. Then they made some adjustment, so it got better in the second half.
Yeah, well, you saw the nudges and the chips and the even when the tight end released, there was a little bump before he got out, and the backs got out trying to. The pressure for Burrow was the internal pressure. You know, the problems of Chris Jones. Holy cow! It seemed like. The one thing that concerned me, and because I would consider Kansas City a champion, it wasn't too long ago. So they've got a tradition. They've got a quarterback, a head coach, and man, all week with the yipping out of Cincinnati.
A lot of it.
And then Eli Apple. Are you kidding me? So all that going on, and I just kept thinking, you know, all week, and you could see after the game the reaction. That was something.
Oh, Kansas City talked about it.
And so I felt like watching, many of the audience won't remember Fast Times at Ridgemont High, but I felt like Chris Jones was the one whose car got smashed and painted, and he just said, he's just going to destroy the game.
Let me ask you this, though. When you watch the game, Cincinnati's offense, you know, became downfield to T. Higgins, downfield to Chase. They really didn't consistently move the ball on Kansas
City. No, they took some – look, the fourth down double move shot play to Chase. Who calls that on fourth down? Like an in pump into bracket. So they were doubling Chase. You saw they were doubling him, they were playing a 77 coverage. Two over here, man underneath on the others, and it was more chunk plays. I do agree with you. Kansas City was the better team yesterday.
Yeah.
And they played better. And yet we had all the other noise. You know, it wasn't a clean game from an official standpoint.
Right. You know that. You've been in those.
It's like anything else. You want the game to end, in my opinion, as a fan now, and you don't want to remember who officiated it, and you don't want to remember who announced it. And then you probably had a good game.
Right.
Right? But if it becomes too much of the official or too much of whoever's in the booth, then you're like, those are accompaniments. You know, something right. I don't want to hear too much. And that's where I think the top crews, Dance and Romo, do a good job. But not too much there and not too much from the stripes.
Yeah.
And we want to just see the game.
I did think in 2023, you can't push. You can't get a quarterback on one leg and bury him into the bench.
No, every one of us. There's nobody. I don't think that didn't feel that was.
That's a penalty.
It was a foul. Yeah, that's a foul day one.
Now that's a hard one though. We got about a minute and a half left.
Nah.
You don't think it's hard?
No.
What do you tell your players on those corner on the sideline plays?
Listen, here's what we know. Was there any doubt that he wasn't heading out of bounds?
Yeah.
All right, and so when he's heading out of bounds, you got a lot of momentum here. Just hands off, and you just run behind him.
Guide him.
Yeah, he's running out of bounds. And so, you know, Parcells used to say, dumb players do dumb things. Meaning at the heat of the moment here, the hopes and dreams of everyone in Cincinnati and the team, and this was unfortunate because he played well.
He played well.
Throughout the game. But I think going to the sidelines I think certainly with the direction he was going, it was just a mistake he made. And, you know, it's a tough mistake.
Yeah, and I also, you know, it is a game of intimidation. And, I mean, I've heard the old saying, you play to the whistle. So I always feel a little bit of sympathy for guys because playing defense, offense is choreography. Defense is blowing stuff up. Ray Lewis used to say this. It's like part of my job was to make people uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I don't want to think too much.
Well, we saw Andy. There was a penalty called on one of the Chiefs' offensive linemen, whole taunting thing.
Yes, yeah.
And all you keep talking about is, man, smart, just keep thinking about the end game. And so all week, you're wanting to eliminate things that might be the difference. Keep thinking about the end game here, all right? Don't get upset because the lollipops at the bank were grape while you're leaving with $500 million. All right, get out of the bank before you get caught.
Right.
And so I understand the main thing, and that's to win and to win and to win and to play in this Super Bowl.
Yep.
And so it's difficult. It's difficult.
Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So wherever your next journey together takes you, start it off right with the high-performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Learn more at ProPlanSport.com. This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Dakovis is your stop before attending your next concert. All Dakovis boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Dakovis has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. Stop by your local Dakovis store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. I love it. If you can't make it to a store, just visit Dakovis.com. Stores are great, but it's TECOVAS.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.